We're beginning a new semester, so we'll have a quick intro class on halacha. Halacha is the Jewish law, the way we practice it, and it is comprised of many factors. We know we have the written Torah, right? Torah Shebichtav. That's the five books of the Torah. Then we have the prophets, we have the writings, yes? You guys mind if I close the door? Okay, when the Torah was given, so we were given two Torahs. We were given the written law and the oral law. So the oral law is divided. Part of the oral law has weight like the written law, such as it says in the Torah, wear totafot, wear an ornament, like a woman wears an ornament up here on her head. What is totafot? So we know totafot is tefillin. So part of the definition of the written law that's in the oral law is biblical. Part of the oral law is biblical. You can't have the written law without the oral law, right? We have many things. It says in the Torah, an eye for an eye. We don't do an eye for an eye. That's biblical. So the oral law has parts which are biblical, which have biblical weight. Parts of the oral law are rabbinic. Yes? So we have the written law and we have the oral law. The Torah was given with the written law and the oral law. And then we also have customs. And customs evolved in different communities under the guidance of their rabbis, their teachers. Sometimes a custom was made for all of Israel. We all keep 2 days Yom Tov in Chutz La'aretz. We all keep 2 days in Israel. So that might have the weight of a rabbinic institution, or it might have a slighter, lesser weight of a custom, depending on what we're talking about. Yes? So we have the biblical mitzvot, we have the rabbinic mitzvot, and then we have customs. So for now, that's where we're going to leave it as those three. Now, what's going to be the difference if a Jew is supposed to keep all of them? Well, obviously, the biblical mitzvot have more weight. The biblical mitzvot have more weight. Even though the rabbinic mitzvot, we are ordained by the Torah to perform the rabbinic mitzvot, right? In this week's parsha, the Torah says, go by what the courts tell you. So we have a biblical mitzvah to do the rabbinic mitzvot. And nonetheless, when the rabbis made their rabbinic mitzvot, they always instituted a clause of leniency. When in doubt, you can be lenient in rabbinic mitzvot in situations of doubt, of safek, right? So we have the biblical mitzvot, we have the rabbinic mitzvot, then we have customs. So we're also obligated to customs. For those of you who come from homes that are non-observant, so you'll have to adopt a custom, whether you'll adopt Ashkenazi or Sephardi or Taimani. Don't be quick to choose. Get more educated, you'll learn more, you'll understand more the differences of the minagim, and over time you'll adopt one. It's true that here in the Machon, we daven Nusach Sfard, but that's just the form of davening. That doesn't encompass all the customs. There are many, many customs. The Sfardim, for example, get up every morning now. In the month of Elul, they get up early before davening, they say Slichot. The Sfardim, for example, will all keep their tzitzis in their pants. They don't wear their tzitzis out, based on Kabbalistic reasons. There are all kinds of things that Sfardim do that are their customs. And Ashkenazim do them differently. Now Ashkenazim will wave money or a bird over their head before Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, yeah, Kaparos, yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about? There are many things we do different. The way we tie a lulav is different. 99% of the Torah we do the same. Sometimes what we do different seems to be what we notice, but we do shake the same lulav, we do shake the same esrog. We all have one lulav, one esrog, three hadas and two aravos. Most of what we're doing is the same. We're making the same blessings. On Hallel of Rosh Chodesh, the Sfardim will not make a blessing, and the Ashkenazim do. Okay, but we're still saying the same Hallel every Rosh Chodesh. So 99% of what we're doing is the same, but there is that 1% which can have a lot of relevance. So over time, you'll adopt a minhag, but if you don't have one, if a person is a ger or a person comes from a home where they don't have any customs, yes.
When you're saying
Sfarad,
is that Nusach?
No, so I'm saying I want to discern. Nusach Sfarad is one area. It's a way of again. Within Ashkenaz, so when it comes to the prayer, there's a Nusach that was given the nickname Nusach Sfard. It was given that nickname. But I'm not talking about the form of prayer. I'm talking about everything else in life. Whether you can put soup back on a plat on Shabbos. How you use a hot plate on Shabbos. There are going to be many halachos where it's relevant. The blessings you make under the chuppah when you get married, we have slight nuances of difference. There are differences between the Jews that come from the area of France and Germany, Ashkenaz, and the Jews that come from the area, be it the Middle East, or the Jews that come from Spain, the areas that are called Sfarad. And those customs span all of life. The difference is, do you put a mezuzah on your door with a slant, the way Ashkenazim do, or do you put it straight up, the way Sfaradim do? Does your child wear talis from the time he comes to shul? Or do you do like Ashkenazim, you wait until he reaches the day of his wedding, right? So there are many differences. Do you say Borei Pri HaGafen or HaGefen? There are going to be many differences between Ashkenazi and Sfaradi. And over time, you'll decide. You'll choose one or the other. But that's an area of customs. For example, we had now the 9 days that preceded Tisha B'Av. We had 3 weeks that preceded Tisha B'Av. There, the Ashkenazim are very stringent. And the Sfaradim are not. They're only stringent the week of Tisha B'Av. There's very little that they don't do the 3 weeks and the 9 days. So in all of Halacha, we have these little differences between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. They seem a little bit bigger than they really are. And that's in the area of customs. Most of the differences between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim are in the area of customs. There are a few places where there are actually halachic differences between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. But in most areas, it's just customs. Let's take an example. We have a rabbinic institution that we're not allowed to eat food that was cooked by a non-Jew. Okay, so we know we're not allowed to drink wine from a non-Jew. We're also not allowed to eat food that was cooked by a non-Jew. So if you're going to run a restaurant and you're going to hire non-Jewish workers, if the restaurant has an Ashkenazi hechsher, then it's enough for you to have turned on the fire. Because Ashkenazim go with the opinion that it's enough that you do only a small part of preparing the food. Sfaradim hold that you have to do almost all the work. So that would be a huge halachic difference in a rabbinic mitzvah between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. But those are rare. Most of the differences between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim are in areas of minhag, in areas of custom. Does the father light Hanukkah candles for the whole family? Or does everyone in the family light their own Hanukkah candles? Sfaradim have only the father light. Ashkenazim have every one of us light. So that's a small difference. Okay, so here we have an example. So when we learn halacha, we will try to notice which things are biblical, which things are rabbinic, and which things are in the realm of custom. We do all of them. But they have different weights of how stringent one has to be when in doubt, etc. I thought from the age they come to shul. But there are different customs among the Sfaradim. Okay.